Hey, everybody. Welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Hosting you all with a large glass of Stella Black because today has not been a banner day here in America.
No.
Been a real bullshit day. So this is our Wednesday night case update. We are coming to you live on February 14th, 2024. Valentine's Day. Love it. Hate it. Don't care. It's all up to you. Whatever you want. I just think it's a day to appreciate everyone I love. So I certainly love all of you and appreciate your presence here with us and supporting us in this crazy job we do. Because we're crazy people.
I was in writing notes to my clients and stuff like that earlier this week. I was thinking about, because we were kind of, I think, raised a little differently with Valentine's Day. Maybe not. Some of you guys maybe had this experience, but our parents didn't do, I mean, they did Valentine's for each other, but they also always did sweet things for us. And
yes,
like it was a family thing at our house, Valentine's Day. And I was thinking about a time when we were in probably junior high or high school. We were teenagers. And our dad, we had a wonderful dad. He definitely wasn't a dad that, like, spent a lot of money on you, you know? I mean, if you needed something, he, you know, he always would come through. But he was frugal. And we weren't raised with a lot of money. We had, our needs were met, but our parents certainly weren't wealthy by any stretch. And one year on Valentine's Day, our dad totally shocked our mother and all of us by handing out gift certificates, not cards. This is well before cards, but gift certificates for the closet, which is now Maurice's, but back in the day it was called the closet. That was a store we didn't shop in because we couldn't afford to.
We had no money for that kind of store.
We had Kmart clothes or garage sale clothes. That's, you know.
Right. We went next door to the closet to Kmart and shopped on clearance a lot.
Yeah. So this man just pulls out gift certificates that he independently went and purchased himself without even a suggestion from our mom. He gave her one too. And we all traipsed down to the closet. And as it so happened, their winter clearance was going on. And we all walked out with a pretty good sized bag of clothes.
We cleaned up.
For $50. That's what you could get, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it was the coolest. Yeah. And he was so cute about it. He wanted to see everything we bought and was so excited. And I can remember, you know, later on him going, is that one of the shirts that you got, you know, and stuff when you had things on? It was just really, really sweet. And I always think about that over Valentine's Day. That was the coolest thing, the sweetest thing that he did.
It was.
Yeah.
It really was. Well, the sweetest thing Katie did was text me this morning and say, open your front door. There was a box from Crumble on my front step. So we got these fabulous cookies. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. You know what's funny about that? I got a box of Crumble on my front step about the same time from Matea.
That's funny.
But we're actually having a girls' lunch tomorrow, so.
Yes, we did. Or yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
We didn't have it yet. We're going to have it tomorrow.
Yes. Tomorrow. Yes. Go to our favorite Mexican place and tear it up. Yeah.
Yes, we are. So, with all that said, I guess we better jump into the true crime world. Katie, you first have a special report for us, which is how many mass shootings can you get on one Valentine's Day?
It is shooting palooza today.
Awful.
Started first thing this morning in DC. Some police, some officers were trying to serve a search warrant to a man for cruelty to animals. If that gives you any clue about what caliber of human we're dealing with here. They ended up in a standoff with this guy. Three police officers were shot. Thank God none of them were killed. A fourth was injured but not shot. They were had basically an ongoing standoff with this dude all day and have finally gotten him into custody. So wow. That's where it started.
That's scary.
Then, of course, in Kansas City today, there was the big parade and celebration for the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And at the conclusion of the parade, there was a additional celebration. And there was a shooting, a mass fucking shooting there. So at last count right now, they're saying that 11 children were injured. There is a parent. Children's Mercy Hospital is saying they're treating 12 people that were injured in the shooting, 11 children, and one parent who will not leave their child. Mm-hmm. But it's also injured. It also has been mm-hmm. Nine of those children actually sustained gunshot wounds. Thank God all of the kids are expected to recover. They're now saying that they believe that 2 people have died and something like 9 other adults are injured.
Oh my God. Joelle is saying, I had a whole ton of friends and some family at the parade. A few were too close to the shooting, but everyone is okay.
Oh, Joelle,
I'm so relieved that your family is okay and your friends. So
22 injuries that they know of. The problem had been that there's multiple hospitals in that area and people were still showing up. Even like during the initial press conference, the police said that they didn't believe any children were injured. And then Children's Mercy Hospital was like, oh, we need a word. Yeah. We have a whole bunch of hurt kids here. Some of the fans actually managed to tackle and take down at least one of the shooters and hold on to them until the police came. Initially, they said they had arrested 2. Now it looks like they're saying they arrested 3. Motive, of course, at this time is unknown. I'm sure that will maybe be forthcoming. Who knows? It seems like in a lot of these shootings, we never really get a motive. So who the hell knows? But
it's hard to know how to prevent things like this.
Yep.
I mean, this can't just be 49ers fans. I cannot imagine that 3 people were this mad.
Right.
Really? It's just horrifying.
Now, right about the same time that this was happening in Kansas City, there was a shooting at a mall in Florida. This was in Tampa. There's not a lot of details known about it. Initially, they said that 2 people were injured. Then that comment kind of got pulled back. We don't really know yet what happened in Florida, and we might not, because the details seem to not be very forthcoming, but there was a shooting there. And not to be outdone by everyone else having a shooting today, there was a shooting at a high school in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, it's only the anniversary of Parkland.
Yeah, it is also the anniversary of Parkland, yes. So the shooting in Atlanta, let me see if I can get my notes up here. The shooting in Atlanta was at a high school, Benjamin E. Mays High School. This was at the conclusion of the day, and this happened in the parking lot. At first, they said it was a fight. Then they said it was actually a drive-by. It might have been a drive-by and a fight. 4 students were injured. None of them were killed, thank God, and are expected to recover.
Which I guess that is good news, but I mean the lifelong trauma those students have experienced.
Yep. Yep.
It is lifelong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what's going on. It's hard to say. Yeah. In Kansas City, Joelle said they had hundreds of armed police right there. They even had snipers on roofs, like watching for trouble. They did. They did do everything they were supposed to do.
This idea of a good guy with a gun will solve it is bullshit. It's total bullshit. Yeah. There are good guys with guns at every single one of these shootings. And you know what? It doesn't stop it. It doesn't.
No, because it happens so damn fast.
Mm-hmm. It's too quick for people to react. It's just too quick.
So, of course, it goes without saying that our hearts go out to everyone affected. The poor people in the Kansas City shooting. Oh my God, the trauma, the absolute trauma. Yeah. It's just terrifying to experience something like that. I saw interviews with kids that were running, getting separated from their friends, not knowing if their friends were okay, crying, screaming. Like, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
This is something that they will never forget, ever.
Never.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, moving. Oh. Did you have something else?
I didn't. That is that.
Okay. Moving from that, we do have an update in Lori Vallow, which we haven't really had a lot of one in a while. But yeah. Guys, we have a trial schedule.
Yeah.
A real trial schedule, not a trial schedule that overlaps Chad's trial schedule. So let's talk about it. So always the word complex comes up. We're definitely going to be, we need some new merch. We need
we
merch.
We probably do. We're going to need complex.
The matter having been previously designated complex, there you go. Start checking your bingo cards. It is ordered affirming complex case scheduling conference on 2/21 at 8:30 a.m. Final trial management conference on 7/25/2024 at 8:30 a.m. Trial assignment date is 8/1/2024 at 9 a.m. The trial assignment hearing is in person for all lawyers and defendants. So these guys have a little different and more detailed schedule of trial scheduling than we do here in Idaho. I think it's really interesting.
They're more efficient, I think.
I think so. The last day of the trial shall be September 2nd of 2024. The trial date shall not be continued unless a written motion to continue is filed with the master calendar assignment judge. There's a judge who is in charge of just the calendars for these things in Arizona, which is really interesting. That has to be filed 5 days before the trial. A continuance will not be granted unless the motion shows that extraordinary circumstances exist. Extraordinary might become a new word. I don't know. We got complex. We'll see about extraordinary. Defendants seeking reconsideration rulings of the court on a motion to modify release conditions or a motion for Rule 11, said motion shall be done by a motion for reconsideration. All motions for reconsideration. Reconsideration, here we go. Shall be submitted without oral argument or without response or reply. So if anybody wants some reconsideration of this, you better just be filing it on paper because they are not going to listen to it. So anyway. It looks like we are looking at a trial that begins on August 1st and ends on September 2nd. So, interesting. That gives us a schedule to look toward, which they're so much more efficient than Idaho. They're also giving this a real short time window. They're not, this is tight because that includes jury selection.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the trial in Idaho is three murders, and this is one. This is Charles Vallow. So very interested to see where this all goes, but there is a lot to consider here.
Yeah.
But Arizona is not playing around, and this complex case will be coming this summer. August, month of August, looks like. We're going to be on massive trial watch right after we've recovered from April's trial watch. We'll probably be fully rested by August so that we can recover.
We're going to have to be. Yeah.
Because these Idaho trials, man, they are long.
Yes, they are.
Very Lordy. Long. Yes, this is just for Charles. This is for Charles' murder. There will be a separate trial. Is this for Charles? Or is this for the attempt on Brandon Boudreau?
I don't know. I'm
not sure either. We'll have to look into it. I kind of thought they were doing. I'm not sure. Don't quote me now. Dang it. They initially addressed them together and then said they would be separated into separate trials. So it's one or the other. Maybe it's Brandon Boudreau and that's why it's so short. We're going to have to look. It's a lot to keep track of. But as you know, we will be all over it, whichever case it is.
You bet.
As well as things seem to be motating right along for Chad to be headed to trial by the 1st of April.
Yep, so they sure do. Absolutely. Anything,
a lot going on. So yep. I'm sure there'll be more coming for Chad here soon. Nothing right at this moment, but there's more coming.
Oh, yeah.
In the meantime, Katie, speaking of shit shows, why don't you tell us what's going on with Delphi and Richard Allen?
Well, A few things. As you know, Judge Gold chose to not recuse herself. And as we talked about last week, there's been a lot of, filings and conversations with the defense that Judge Gold is just continuing to ignore. Now, the state, of course, has also filed wanting contempt charges against the defense. The problem is the filing is very vague and isn't specific about what kind of contempt he's trying to accomplish here.
Right. I've been curious about it because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand who's in contempt here. Mm-hmm. Who are they accusing?
Yes. And so now they have filed also a brief demanding discovery for the contempt. He's like, all right, well, here the state says, here's who my witnesses are going to be. I need to know what you're going to be doing. And these guys are like, well, we don't fucking know because you haven't even told us what kind of contempt this is. So we're just kind of sitting here waiting for Judge Gold to do, well, anything. I mean, she did anything? Give them their continuance on the contempt stuff because there was simply no time for that. So on that front, they're just still kind of waiting. You know, it really makes you wonder why Judge Gold didn't come back and say, on this contempt filing, we're going to need more information, but she didn't. It really makes you wonder if she even read it at all.
Probably didn't even read it.
So I want to tell you about, these are all of the motions that the defense has filed that have gone completely ignored. Motion to vacate, motion to dismiss for destroying exculpatory evidence. We talked about that last week. Motion for mm-hmm. summary denial of state's information, memorandum in support of dismissal, and petition for clarification on contempt hearing. She has responded to zero of those things. Though, don't worry, she seems to be responding pretty promptly to anything that the state files, but she's just ignoring the defense.
How is this not just confirming her bias over mm-hmm. and over and over again?
And even the things that she does finally address, she's ruling without any hearings whatsoever.
Right.
It is, yet again, many violations of due process, not only for Richard Allen, but also for these attorneys. It's just a never-ending shit show. I really hope that the Supreme Court is keeping an eye on this, the Indiana Supreme Court. I really hope they're looking at each other going, yeah, we should have removed her from this case. What the hell? Right? I really hope they are.
All have to wait for an appellate judge at this point? Like, how much longer does Gull get to just do whatever she wants?
It's a damn good question.
It's disgusting. But
there's some other things that have come up that the defense has said. This is a part of some of their filings. Some of their concerns about what has been happening in this case, because obviously there's been a ton of concerns. And so some of their concerns have been, despite the prosecution's unproven assertions on the 6/15 due process hearing, Richard Allen's confessions, remember the jailhouse confessions we heard that he had made?
Right.
Well, as it turns out, now we're learning that those were only about one sentence long, not detailed, non-specific, and the defense has yet to hear them, despite multiple attempts to.
So is that even true? Actually even said or not?
Do they even exist?
Right.
That's when you read like comments from people about this case, they're always like, he confessed, dumbass. Did he? Because there's sure no proof of
that. What does the confession say?
That is just the prosecutor shooting off his mouth that he confessed from jail. Well, the other problem with that, besides the fact that they have yet to provide those with the defense, and I would think that was definitely discovery they would want to have.
Right.
At the time of these confessions, the Department of Corrections was administering, according to the defense or the prosecution, a lot of medication, both shots and pills. Here's the problem. the Department of Corrections refuses to provide his attorneys with specific details about what medication they were giving him.
Boy. Yeah. Just more bullshit, more bullshit, more bullshit. Sarah says they can file interlocutory appeal. Okay, that is good to know. Because it does make you wonder, Sarah, like, is anyone ever going to intervene here? Mm-hmm. Because the Indiana Supreme Court didn't. And now this bullshit just continues.
Yep. Yep. So I thought that was interesting stuff. I think it's wild that that discovery has not been turned over to the defense, considering that supposedly it happened sometime around April. So it's been 10 months. And they're using that as a part of their argument. And yet the defense has never received it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, JR. The original judge did quit on this case.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Immediately.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much immediately. I don't know why Judge Gold doesn't recuse herself. Seriously. She's staying in this position on purpose. Why?
I mean, the Supreme Court of Indiana upheld her, so why?
I guess so. But it is very strange. It sucks. I hate this case. Yeah. I hate the way this is going.
Well, and Abby and Libby's families, where are they in the middle of all of this, you know?
Just abandoned. This isn't left about them. What the hell to think? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, yesterday was the anniversary of the deaths of these girls. 7 years.
Right.
Seven years. Wow.
Crazy. Yep. Well, in another horrific court situation, if you are following the Harmony Montgomery trial, and no shade if you aren't, because I will say in all of my years following true crime, this is the most disturbing murder trial I have ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. And I witnessed Lori Vallow in person. So the testimony is horrific. How Adam Montgomery thinks that he should be going to trial on this at all, I do not know. Mm-hmm. It is. So we know that he has now said he's stipulated to, yes, I mutilated a body. Yes, I destroyed evidence. Yes, I, you know, moved the body. He's said, yes, I've done all those things. But I didn't kill her. The stepmom did.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, including himself, believes that. I can't imagine that the jury is believing that, watching this testimony. Watching stepmom's testimony was absolutely gut-wrenching.
Oh, my God. It's
unreal. Because the real trauma of this case, beyond the murder of Harmony, which was absolutely horrific because it was a physical beating, mm-hmm. is all of the time that Adam Montgomery transferred Harmony's remains around, trying to prevent himself from being caught. And today, on the stand were forensic experts and investigators talking about all of the places that they found Harmony's DNA. Mm-hmm. Also, there's been a police officer this week talking about how they identified in the one place that they'd been living that they had stored her body in the ceiling, because when he walked into the room, he could smell decomposition.
Yeah.
Now, the body was no longer there. But up in the ceiling, there was evidence of something that had been there. Including, and yes, we have Adam.
Guess whose fingerprints and palm print?
Yeah. Wonder why he pled to that. All the while, Adam refusing to go to court, being a total jackass, deserving the absolute worst this jury can possibly give him. Mm-hmm. And putting all of these people who have been perennially traumatized by this through all of this. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you.
I'm so, so sad for the jury in this case.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine. Let's see.
They saw this today. The cooler.
Yes.
The red cooler. And there was
the spot up in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about how, you know, they found a toothbrush with Harmony's Harmony's DNA on it. They confirmed her parentage by Adam and Crystal, and that could most certainly have only ever been the toothbrush that belonged to Harmony Montgomery. She talked about, let's see, she was, yeah, she finished up this morning, and then we heard from the police officer who found the location where Harmony's body had been placed in a vent in the ceiling, and how he said there was an odor. I could smell something. I couldn't tell what it was, but there was an odor in the room. And then when he removed the vent in the ceiling, moving it aside, he said, as soon as I removed the cover, I could smell what I knew was decomposition. I could smell a dead body, and I believed that to be a body at the time. It was a smell you just don't forget. And he talked about, you know, his experience as a police officer. You know, so this is just what we're going through. They're making the report over and over and over again.
Basically, they're confirming every single thing that that lying ass bitch said. Yeah. I mean, you can't.
They're confirming everything.
Yeah. To hell with Kayla Montgomery. Straight to hell. Yes. But that defense that she's the one who did it, they're going to have a tough time with that, because every detail she's included, they're confirming with various pieces of other people, physical evidence and stuff.
Yeah.
The thought to me that he beat that little girl so bad in her car seat, or in the seat of the car, for peeing her pants when they were living in a car. Living in a car. She has nowhere to go to the bathroom. She had an accident. Second one that day, apparently. Adam beat the hell out of her in the car. Got in the car. As they're driving, he keeps reaching back and taking more shots at her. Throws a blanket over her. She, stepmom, says she's making weird noises and crying. And they pull into Burger King and order food and sit in the parking lot and eat the food and get high. And pretty soon, finally, Harmony quits making sound. And then pretty soon the car broke down, so they had to do something with her body because they had to vacate the car. And I am so sick over the idea that they did that, that she did that, that they sat in that car and listened to that baby cry herself to death after being beat to death. I just can't even. I had a horrible nightmare after the first day, and I went, this case is rocking me to my core. It is so bad.
I'm just watching testimony clips. I cannot stand to do all of it. And it's just a reminder for all of us that if you can't, you can't. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And we will give you sanitized versions here, because we're not going to, you know, traumatize you further, but just know it's horrific. And if the jury doesn't find Adam Montgomery guilty here, I'm terrified for this country. Honestly,
I can't imagine that they wouldn't. They're only on like witness 22, I think, out of 55 on their list. Many. That we're nowhere near done. Then the defense has two witnesses on their list. People are speculating. Is one of them Adam? Is this motherfucker going to sit at the jail this entire time and then waltz in after the defense or after the prosecution rests and get on the stand?
And say Kayla did it. I imagine that's probably what's going to happen. I don't believe for one second Kayla did do it. Not at all. But anyway, please take good care of yourselves. This is a very difficult trial. All we want, frankly, what I want is the location of what's left of Harmony's body for her mother. That's the thing that matters here. And also for Adam and Kayla to go away forever, because that's the kind of people they are.
Kayla could get probation as early as this spring.
She could. She is just not right.
Nowhere near serving what she deserves for this. After she lied to the grand jury.
Yeah. All of the shit that she has done over all of this time.
And been an absolute accomplice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least if Harmony's mother, Crystal, could have a way to lay Harmony to rest, I think.
That would be something.
Is something that she really needs. But anyway, that is a horrific case, and we're doing the best we can with it. Katie, why don't you wrap it up with what's going on with Brian Laundrie and the not wrap it up, but you know, anyway. Yeah. Go next to
move on to yes. Well, as you know, Gabby Petito's parents are suing Brian Laundrie's parents for pain and suffering, essentially, because they believe that they knew that Gabby was dead for many days before Gabby's body was found, and that they just refused to tell them that and allowed them to suffer. And so that's been going on for a time now. And now we have gotten a peek at some of the depositions that have come out. This is a snippet. They're really long. But here's a few of the things that that Brian's parents said. Essentially, his mother said that he called her the afternoon that, you know, we believe that Gabby was murdered. And she said when she got on the phone, they kind of, you know, just exchanged pleasantries at first. And then this is what she said. I asked him, you know, how is he doing? And he, you know, he was not calm. And he got very excited and told me things had, you know, Gabby's gone. And he got very frantic. This is what Dad says.
Ugh, Jesus.
Everything was frantic and quick. So, you know, Gabby's gone. Mm-hmm. He was asked what else Brian said on the phone call. He said, well, it was quick. He said, you know, he was very panicked. And he said he didn't know what to do. He said, you know, can you help me, you know? And he might need a lawyer, you know. And I asked him why he wouldn't tell me. He was very frantic. Everything was frantic. And I started to not really comprehend. And then he just said, you know, can you help me? And I said, okay, I'll help you. And I calmed down and I said, I don't know what I said. This is what he said. Then Chris said, It was all mumbled, and I still don't remember everything that happened. But, you know, he said he needed help and to get an attorney. And I told him, yeah, I'll help you. I'll call Stephen Bertolino. Just stay put. And then I asked him again, and he said, just help me. And I said, yeah, I'm going to. So stay calm, stay put. And he hung up. Mom has a little different story. She talked to him first, and then told Dad to call him because he was acting weird with her on the phone. But they both just say that they didn't know. All they knew is that he said Gabby was gone. But they didn't know what gone meant. They just knew gone. So he showed up at their house. And, of course, they had already contacted Steve Bertolino, who, if you're wondering why they had an attorney from New York when they were in Florida, it's because Steve Bertolino and Chris Laundrie are friends. And had done some real estate business together. Right. So that's why he was their attorney. So mom says she did not ask him any questions because Steve told her not to. Steve Bertolino told him, the less you know, the better. Don't ask him any questions at all. So we didn't ask him where Gabby was. We didn't ask anything. We were just there for him, which included Gabby's parents calling and coming to the house and them completely ignoring them and refusing to speak to them. But she said she figured that Gabby could take care of herself. In another part of the deposition, she talks about how close she and Gabby were, that they were friends. She called her Gabrielle at one point, said that they were friends, that they had gotten really close when she was living with them, that she loved and adored her. Shut the fuck up, Roberta. Really, shut up. Right this minute. After he got back and, you know, they were told not to ask any questions, they had to go out and buy him a new cell phone, but couldn't ask why. It's so much BS. It's so ridiculous for these two to sit here and go, well, yeah, he said she was gone, but we didn't know what gone meant. And then our lawyer said, don't ask. So we didn't. So we just don't have any idea. BS.
Total BS.
I don't believe that bullshit for a half a second.
No.
But I don't either. At any rate, it's all kind of starting to roll out. Yeah, she claimed she loved her like a daughter. Sure you did. Till your son killed her. Yeah.
Yeah. The things that should never be said out loud. Mm-hmm. Things just yeah. like that. These people are so disgusting. I can't even.
Mm-hmm. And again, affirming that that burn before reading letter was written before they ever went on that trip. It had nothing to do with this situation. You know, first of all, I don't know if I believe that. I don't believe anything these people say. But second of all, even if it was, what the hell, Roberta?
Yeah.
Really?
Any of you ever written a letter like that to one of your children? I know I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are full of it. It's disgusting. But at least it's all kind of starting to march out. So that's what we know. Again, it was super long, and those are just a few snippets from it. But it's just a bunch of bullshit. It's just a partial truth with lots of holes in it and lots of denials and lots of I can't remembers.
Yeah. Yep. Just disgusting. Well, mm-hmm. I think we all remember. I think this country will never forget what those trash people did. Mm-hmm. It's one of the benefits of the Gabby Petito situation being put on blast the way that it was. Mm-hmm. Laundries have very little room to breathe in this situation because it was all out there from day one.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's go on to the Brian Smith murder trial that's happening in Anchorage, Alaska. We presented this last week. So this is the murder trial. Brian Smith is on trial for the murder of two Indigenous Alaskan women, Kathleen Jo Henry and Verona Ibuchik, who both died more than 4 years ago and were experiencing homelessness, it's believed, at the time that they died. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that happened in court yesterday that was pretty interesting is that investigators played a video of some interrogation that they did with him in 2019. So they had been looking for him already. Remember, this is the case where a woman turned in an SD card that she had actually stolen from out of his truck, and the video and the card actually showed the murder of one of these women and video and images. It's very horrific stuff, but it showed him and his vehicle. Mm-hmm. Made it very clear that Brian Smith and his Ford Ranger had been involved in this situation. Mm-hmm. So some of the video and the clips were shown yesterday of this interrogation where he said things like, I don't remember. I do not remember this. I don't remember this girl. And if I did this, I don't remember. Yeah, mm-hmm. sure. Okay. And then they show him pictures of, you know, him with this woman as she is being killed. Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't remember the face. I don't remember. That's my truck. That's my voice. That looks like my shoes. I wear jeans usually. It looks like jeans in the picture. I do not. I've got a blank. If that's me, I've got a total blank. Something is blocking this out of my mind. Yeah, something. Mm-hmm. You're a damn fucking liar is what. So then, you know, there's a photo of a body in the back of his truck. And he says he just found it there and freaked out and got scared. And so then he dumped the body along the highway. Yes, sure, dude. That's exactly what this sounds like. So the police said, why would you not call? A reasonable person would call the police and say, hey, I found a dead body. Why didn't you just do that? Yep. But what he actually did was wait 2 days, keep the body in the back of his vehicle, drive home, park it in his driveway, and then take it out to a spot to dump it over the guardrail and take other things that she had with her to a different place. Mm-hmm. And the officer said,
well, that's exactly what you'd do if you found a dead body, wouldn't anyone? Yeah.
And then take pictures in the back of her in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
Nobody would have done that if they just found the body. So Smith goes, I know. I was the only person there when I dumped her. Jesus Christ.
Well, he also has a very distinctive voice because he's South African.
Right, yes.
And so his voice on the video is unmistakable. You can't possibly think that's not him.
Yeah, it's most very clearly is him. And he doesn't even try to deny that it is him.
No.
he says he'd been with a girl and that would come out and he would find, his wife would find out he cheated and that's why he did all of this.
Yeah.
Fuck you, asshole. Mm-hmm. So then the
he
other
also apparently happens, at one point said that he didn't have a problem killing Alaska natives because nobody would miss them, but that he would never dream of harming his white wife because she's white.
You disgusting son of a bitch. The very thing, he's just confirming the thing that we know to be true, which is why the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls situation is such a horrible problem. And it's that belief right there. And you know what? It turns out it's not true because lots of us care and lots of people notice.
And lots of people have families. Miss these women. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So then today, the jury saw a 35-minute video of Smith murdering Henry, beating her and choking her to death. Mm-hmm. There was a discussion prior to the jury coming in if this was even appropriate to show the jury, which, of course, they have to because it is evidence of the crime.
Yep.
The judge said the videos show her being strangled to death. She's obviously already been severely beaten to the point. The videos are taken and she's being tortured and played with while she's dying. He said that just jurors would see the video. So it was not live streamed and people sitting in the audience did not see it. In addition to being robbed of her life, she's being robbed of her dignity, that anyone has to even watch this at all. But of course they do because it is Brian Smith murdering her. And then there was some more video shown of him being interrogated by police. And some talk of how Veronica Abacek actually died before Henry. But her remains had been misidentified initially because her skull was found with a gunshot wound in 2017 or 2018. Uh-huh. And the skull was initially misidentified. So it wasn't until the video was found and they started making these connections to Brian Smith that they connected him up to her murder. Let's see. It said that a large monitor of the video faced away from the gallery, but people could hear the audio. At one point during one of the videos, Smith said, "Do people need to learn how to die these days?"
Yeah.
He said some other things as well about getting serial killed.
Yes.
You should know you're getting serial killed. That was one thing he said. Some of the other things that they heard him say, Van was kicking her. "You live, you die, you live, you die," he was saying over and over again. And then he said, "Sadly, in my movies, everyone dies."
Just, it's really hard for me to believe that he's only killed two people.
Me too. And talking about when he made that statement about getting serial killed, well, we only have two deaths here. That doesn't even qualify him as a serial killer.
I know. And he's just too old for me to think that this was just where this started.
Right.
How long has he lived in Canada? Do we have any idea?
I'm not sure because he lived in South Africa. Then he lived in Alaska. Then he was in DC for a while. Then he was in Canada. He has moved around quite a bit. And so it is certainly something that there should be international and there may be happening investigation with his DNA for sure.
Yep.
Because I don't believe for one second that these are the only two.
They couldn't be. Just couldn't be.
Yeah. So it's a really disturbing trial also. So feel free to skip it if you need to. It's one that we are following because MMIW cases are really important to us and a priority for us. As you know, we've talked about lots and lots of them. And this was a case we didn't even know about until the trial had begun.
Yeah.
But it's an important one, particularly those horrific statements that he made where he did, in fact, target Native Alaska women.
Yeah.
Because he didn't think anyone would care. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, bitch, there are a lot of people who care. And he's going to go away forever for this.
Absolutely.
But this trial is rough to watch, considering that there is video and photo evidence of what he did.
It's very triggering. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that is everything we... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, speaking of photo evidence, there was an incident here in our neck of the woods. Another one. We just can't quit having trouble. A couple of nights ago, Sunday night, in the parking lot of a local high school, Compass Academy, mm-hmm. where two groups of people got together to settle something. We're talking about a few girls, mostly boys, 18, 19, mid-20s, where this crew of kids fought with each other, and eventually two people were shot, and the people that were shot were run over by a pickup. Run over.
Yeah.
The one kid was shot, and his friend who'd been hiding behind the pickup ran around the side of it to check on his shot friend, and this guy walked up and shot him right in the head.
Yeah.
And then ran them over with his pickup on his way out. Yeah. The and the whole thing was on a Snapchat video.
Yeah.
That was sent to the police, and that's how they knew who they were looking for. And what the hell happened? Because someone actually videoed the whole thing and snapped it to a friend.
Yeah.
Thank God they did. But that kind of horror. Yeah. The perps that have been arrested are 18 and 19. And were cold-hearted enough, were numb enough, had such a lack of respect for human life that they would walk up to someone and put a gun upside their head, that they would run over people they had shot with their pickup truck. It's shocking to me.
It is shocking.
I mean, this is always shocking, but this is next level.
They're just kids.
Yeah.
But honestly,
they're just kids.
Just kids are committing a lot of really terrible crimes right now.
Jesus, I'll bet poor Archibald is like, I can't take anymore right now.
Yeah. This state is seriously in need of death penalty attorneys, which is Absolutely. A really shitty place to be, I'm afraid.
Yeah. But also, I wondered if you wanted to talk about the interview that came out last night about the OUR people.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get into this more in a Mormon Misdeeds, but there's an interview, a taped interview, where some people believe that it's admitted by members of the Operation Underground Railroad. This is relating to Tim Ballard, that they, in fact, were well aware that they were not actually saving trafficking victims in what they were doing. So we're going to get into that a lot more in Operation or in a Mormon Misdeeds episode. But that's really big, because if that is the case, they have commit fraud to the tune of many, many millions of dollars in their fundraising, not to mention all of the other shit, the sexual assault cases, all of the other stuff. This is really big. So we'll see where this goes. This case just never stops. The investigation continues and continues and continues. So, of course, this is all alleged at this point, but we will be discussing it.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty important stuff. I think, is an important lesson for all of us in being really sure if we're putting money into any kind of a privately funded nonprofit organization, that we know exactly who those people are and what they are doing, and that they are on the up and up and really doing what they say they're doing, because millions and millions of dollars have been defrauded in the actions of OUR, it appears.
It sure does. For many years that this, it's been, was well known for many years.
Yeah.
That,
it has.
They weren't actually rescuing children. That was never their objective. It was really never what was happening at all.
No, it was sex tourism. Mm-hmm. It was sex tourism, and they were selling that under the guise of saving trafficked children, mm-hmm. and basically buying big donors money for their experience going off to do an op, which were just absolutely artificially created trafficking events, mm-hmm. in which they saved no one and actually created trafficking victims. Mm-hmm. That's what is alleged is going to come out, mm-hmm. the further these investigations go.
It sure seems like that's exactly what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to share? There's one more case, the Fernandez case, the Cincy daughter.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, let me pull up. Well,
another Mormon misdeed.
Yeah, this is Shanna Gardner. Shanna is the one that was, her parents are the Stampin' It Up people.
Oh, sorry. I said Cincy. My apologies, Cincy. It's Stampin' It Up.
It's the Stampin' It Up folks. And let me grab my article real quick. But she essentially, so she was supposed to have pretrial today. It's actually been postponed until Wednesday. But she is, so this is the case where she and her husband were in a yucky divorce. And he got out of his car. He had their two-year-old in the car. There was a tire in the road. He got out of the car to move the tire and was gunned down right in front of his little child. And as it turned out, this was orchestrated by Shanna and her boyfriend, actually now husband. And so she's now, there's a few things that came out in a document that was filed, her saying that it had occurred to her over time that he was just a gold digger. He was an exec for Microsoft, but okay, Jan, for sure. She claims that it occurred to her over time that she only married him because she was desperate. And she realized all he was really after was her family's money in the first place. So then when they got divorced, there was a big fight over their house because the house was actually purchased through her family's trust. But he essentially had been paying all of the bills, the taxes, the everything. And so he wanted his half of the pie. And in Florida, the rules around inheritance and stuff like that are, they wouldn't have been in her favor. So at any rate, you know, they get divorced. She doesn't like having to share the kids with him. She doesn't like him, and basically makes a plan to murder him so that he's out of the picture. So at any rate, we've been watching this one for a while, and the pretrial is on Friday, supposedly. So we'll keep an eye on that for sure. But
yeah,
that's what's up with that case.
That's very interesting because a little more of the truth is coming out about what happened, what actually happened in that situation. So that's what we have for you all. Happy Valentine's Day. Unhappy Valentine's Day. I don't know what to say. Please take really good care of yourselves. Please only expose yourselves to the level of these cases that you are comfortable with. We all understand. And it can be too much at times. It is for us too. There's a lot of bad shit going on. So you know what? Mm-hmm. Hug your families. Hug your cats. Your dogs. Your squishmallows. Because I have a lot of those. Spend plenty of time away from this shit. Mm-hmm. And make sure you send plenty of spend plenty of time in your real life. Yes. Your life. Mm-hmm. That matters. Because this is stuff we're witnessing and observing, but we are not actually living it. And it's important to remind ourselves of that. Teresa, good question. How do we cope? That's what I do. I spend a lot of time in my real life. And that's really, really important. Mm-hmm. And I do take breaks. And like Harmony Montgomery, I've only watched snippets. I cannot stand how horrific the testimony of this case is. It's just too much. So
I dove in too deep last week and proved it real fast. So
yes. Yeah.
For me, comedy. I try to balance true crime with comedy and just and also having fun, you know, and doing things that have absolutely nothing to do with true crime. Yes. But I think keeping that separation is really important too. And you know, we
lots
all say
and lots of
like,
laughing.
We all say things like, I feel so sad for her. It breaks my heart that it's okay to say that and to feel that. But remember that it isn't your heart that has to break. That was the heart of the victim's mama or the whatever. It's okay to have empathy and feel it, but you don't have to force yourself or make yourself feel horrible about every single thing you see. I would be way too damn much. But mm-hmm. however,
hey, I even make funny little snails out of resin and stuff like that. You're right. Dog Butler says hobbies. Yes. Hobbies, hobbies and pets are two huge ones for me.
Mm-hmm. I will show you what I'm wearing right now. It's a ring that I made out of glass.
Oh, yeah.
Well, lovely. Obviously not the, not that part, but, but it's a little rose glass ring. Yes.
Really pretty.
Always having stuff like that. Yes. Terry, I think Terry said, I think it's important to balance it, especially as we bear witness. Laughter is good medicine. Yep. And joy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. With that, we will be back tomorrow with another episode. And next week, we will have the watch party after case updates next Wednesday. So if you subscribe to our little extra on YouTube, you can access that. If you don't, feel free to. It's just our watch party. We're going to pick an episode on Netflix to watch together. You will watch on your own device, but then we will have a live chat going and we can discuss what we're watching. It's a lot of fun. It's something we enjoy every month. And I know a lot of you do as well. Yeah. Because sometimes we don't have a lot of people to talk about this stuff with. So guess what? We're right here. We're going to do it. So that will be next week. And just keep watching. We always have more great content to come. And don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment, leave us a review, do all the things to just help us continue to grow.
Absolutely. And actually for tomorrow, I have two really funny dumb crime stories for you. So
We love the
that helps too.
Favorite. Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, you know it. We are the True Crime Squad. Thanks for being here.
Take care.